It is a great privilege to be with dear friends at the Tabernacle again, and I do thank you for your kind welcome this morning. We turn to Psalm 55. David wrote this psalm, it is believed, at the time of Absalom's rebellion. His favorite son had risen up against his father and led a band of conspirators with a view to replacing him as king. And David and his men had to flee Jerusalem for their very lives. When it says a little into the psalm there at verse 12, how David was so amazed that a certain man, not an enemy, but a friend, had hated him and magnified himself against him. A man, his equal, his guide, his acquaintance, with whom he walked together to the house of God and so on. It is believed that refers to Ahithophel, David's favorite and trusted counselor. And you remember at the time of the rebellion, it was a bitter blow to David that Ahithophel had joined the side of the conspirators and sided with Absalom. David, of course, is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this treacherous betrayal of someone close to him, Ahithophel, is a type of Judas Iscariot. And in the midst of this terrible blow, on top of everything else that was happening to him, so crushing and overwhelming, let us read two verses in this psalm again. Firstly, verse 6, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." This is what David felt like doing, running away, escaping from all his troubles. And then verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." This is what David says he must do. Go to the Lord with his troubles and find relief there. And the second one, verse 22, is the right resort, of course. And you'll notice that David urges himself to do this, talking to himself. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Sometimes we need to speak to ourselves in our situation and remind ourselves of what we believe, and exhort ourselves to the right, believing, godly action in the midst of our troubles. Spurgeon once said, "Some of the best talks a man has are with himself." And talking to oneself in this way is part of real religion, heart religion. Notice the promise there in verse 22, "And he," that's God, "shall sustain thee." It suggests that David had done this kind of thing before. It's almost his testimony. "And again, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." He'd found it a blessed remedy in the past. He must do this again for the present. And dear friends, not only David, but countless believers since have made this, verse 22, their resort. And so good a resort is it that Peter takes it up in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And in his apostolic cast, he says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord," "casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you." Well, let us look at these words then as David expresses them and see that these are the only right course to follow in every time of need. Let's look first of all at the burden itself. Thy burden. It is a picture to stand for anything that gets on top of us and proves too much to bear. And there are various kinds of burdens. For instance, we could think of service for the Lord. If you have a right view of God, it is a heavy responsibility to handle divine things and to spread the gospel of Christ, to minister to souls, to evangelize in his name, and to seek the edification of the church. All these have eternal repercussions, and we cannot approach them lightly, can we? And they become rightly so a burden. Not such that we are weary of the work, but we are sometimes weary in the work because we carry something very heavy, because we take it so seriously. Especially that of preaching. Three times in the prophets we read, the burden of the word of the Lord. Spurgeon once said, let those preach lightly who dare do so. To me it is the burden of the Lord, joyfully carried as grace is given, but still a burden which at times crushes my whole manhood into the dust of humiliation. Any man who has truly preached will feel that he has never preached. And yet the seriousness, the godliness, the holiness of it, the great repercussions of it become sometimes almost overwhelming. Thy burden. And then, of course, there are severe trials. It might be family burdens that you are carrying this morning. That unconverted son, that daughter who is breaking your heart, that husband who is very ill. Or it might be financial burdens in this present climate, or the burden of your responsible and demanding job, or the weight of discouragement and depression, so bad that in the words of Job 7 and verse 20, you say, I am a burden to myself, and you feel you are a burden to everyone around you. Sometimes the burden of our particular thing is such that we become so sunk down beneath it. Sometimes it shows in the stoop of our walk. And people say, you look as if you've got the world on your shoulders. And we perhaps feel we have. Now, we should not be blind to this in others. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the love of Christ. It is a part of Christian love, isn't it, to be sensitive to the needs of others and seek to support and help. But the truth is, dear friends, that try as we might, there is only so much that we can do. There are burdens that really there is only one who can help us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Then there are burdens in body. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 4. We that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. The apostle likens the physical body to the frail, thin tent that will wear thin and wear out and is not a permanent thing here in this world. It has no foundation like a building. It's only for so long, then it will be taken down. And as you grow older, you feel the weight of years. Changes happen in the body, and there are aches and pains, and there are illnesses, there are conditions that get a hold of us. And sometimes it is a burden to live and a burden to carry on. We feel burdened. Sometimes it can be just the sheer tiredness and weariness, or we're not well, or we're in constant pain that doesn't have any relief, and it has a psychological effect. We feel that we are getting depressed under it. In chapter 5 and verse 8 of that 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. The ultimate wings like a dove to fly away to glory. But this is not an option that is in our hands. But it is understandable when some dear people get weary of life because of the burdens of the body or the mind. Well, there are so many burdens. Thy burden. I wonder which one suits your case this morning. Let's look secondly, not only at the burden itself, but the burden rightly viewed. Thy burden. Now, the word for burden here is not the usual word for it in the scriptures. It's the only occurrence of it here. If you have a margin Bible, you will see that against that word burden, alternatively, it could be rendered gift. It can be translated gift, and it can be translated burden. It's a unique word. But dear friends, given that that is the case, what a marvelous way to view it. Literally, it means lot. What is allotted to you? What is your particular gift that you carry? And so you see, it has a strictly vertical plane. It is something that God has given you. It is appointed by the Lord, and He has placed it upon you as a providential gift. What a remarkable thing. You see it now in a new light, don't you? Whatever it is, His love and His wisdom that has ordained this thing and that has entrusted it to you, whatever it is, thy burden from above. Now, of course, the non-Christian will view such a thing as an unfortunate occurrence, bad luck, fate, some curse, something that could be done without. Wish he could get rid of it. Wish he could have been spared it. But the Christian has a believing view. The burden is the second cause. God is the first cause. If that burden involves people, God is the ultimate. If that burden involves the devil, it's only under the overall control and government of God. Thy gift. And dear friends, rightly viewing it like this, we are in a position, therefore, to understand why David went to the Lord about it. Because the thing is meant to be a blessing to us and not anything else. Think of it like this. The picture, the metaphor of burden, it's something heavy and it is weighing down upon us. But dear friends, if God sanctifies it to us, it lowers us and produces humility in us. Think of a boat. If it's empty, sitting high on the water, it might feel light, but it can be dangerously unstable and it can capsize. But if that boat is full of ballast and is lying low in the water, it's much steadier. And dear friends, it's not good for us always to be riding high and for things to go swimmingly well in life, because the danger is we forget God and we become full of self-confidence and pride. And there is danger, danger when there's pride. There can be a terrible fall. And God knows what proud sinners we are. And whatever burden you and I happen to be carrying, it's to keep us low before God and therefore to keep us safe so that he will have the glory and we will go carefully along in his dear presence. But the thing is, the boat full of ballast to keep it low, but never too full to sink it. And God will never give you a burden that is too heavy for you to bear. He is faithful and will never suffer you to be tempted or tried above that ye are able. It'll be just right. It'll be ordered. It'll be defined. It'll be limited. It'll be sized and weighed and will be upon you just as perfectly as he wants it to be. And you can depend upon it that your particular burden is God's perfect way. Not too much, not too little. If it could have been otherwise, God would have done it otherwise. Thy burden to make you humble and to make you a better Christian, that you might depend upon him more and he will have more glory from your life. And you see, involved in that is the fact that there is a seriousness about it. We are too light and flippant so often. And we tend, if things are going easily for us, to take life less than seriously. And we start finding our pleasures in things, and we are easily distracted from the one thing needful. We perhaps begin to tell jokes about things in the Bible and are a little bit irreverent, which shows that our spirit is not right, getting worldly. And when we carry a burden, it keeps us weighty and serious, reminds us that the soul, the immortal soul and eternity, the things of God are the things that really matter. And you see, we're steadied and we become established and strengthened. It's good for us. We can learn to acknowledge God in whatever burden we carry and pray that God will bless it to us and believe that we'd be the worse without it. But we can be the far better with it. Our particular burden, you see, thy gift, exactly suited to our need and for our good. And it's a real test, isn't it? What are we going to do with it? Escapism? Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away and be at rest, some vast wilderness. Or go to the Lord. And there is the test. And there is the Lord exercising us and graciously dealing with us. If your burden sends you to God, that burden is nothing but a blessing, rightly viewed as a gift from him to draw us to him. Let's look thirdly at the burden relieved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, exactly what this means has been a perplexing question to believers. About casting the burden upon the Lord so that we're free and we're wonderfully helped and it's no more. What does it actually mean? Well, it seems to me from this verse, it does not mean that you hand over the burden itself. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. God gave you your burden for your good, and he does not want it back again. Notice it says, and he shall sustain thee and not suffer you to be moved. So it's not a burden-ridding exercise that we have here. What does he mean? It surely means cast the weight of your burden upon him, for he stands ready to help you with it, so that it is never too much to bear. Now you say, how do I do that? How do I get this promised relief? Not escape, not get away somewhere, not pretend it doesn't exist, not make my resort in worldly things to try to forget what's happening. What does it mean to cast my burden upon the Lord so that I get relief? Well, dear friends, by prayer is one thing. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And we have the freedom, dear friends, to come to God with great honesty and frankness and be able to pour out before him everything. How we feel, what we're going through, what it seems to be doing to us, how we can hardly take any more. Oh, the wonder of being able in Hebrews 4, verse 16, to come boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word boldly there means all speech, free speech, liberty of utterance. You can tell God everything, unload it all onto him, unburden yourself to him in his presence, and he lovingly listens to you, and he wants you to be full and frank and honest and not keep anything back. Pray, pray, and pour it all out to him, and pray yourself empty, and pray yourself quiet and still until you can pray no more, because you've told God about it all. And oh, what a relief. Casting your burden upon him, giving it to him, not literally, but giving it to him in your prayers and telling him all about it. Now, you might say, though, oh, well, that's just the problem. I do this, and I've had some good times of prayer, telling him all about it, and I do get some relief. But the trouble is, shortly afterwards, I begin thinking about the burden again, and then it engrosses my mind, and then before long, I'm filled with thoughts about it, and I feel the weight and the pressure once more. And before long, I'm no better off than I was before, having prayed about it. The trouble is, I can't seem to be free of it. It comes back, and it's upon me again in all its force and pressure. What do you do then? Well, dear friends, maybe the best approach is to look at it like this. Why does it come back to your mind? Why is it again so vivid before very long? How come that you start feeling the weight and pressure of it soon afterwards? Because there is an enemy of our souls who reminds us of the worst of things in order to discourage us and bring us low. And you might have had a wonderful time of prayer, and you might have found relief. taken it to the Lord in prayer, and in his arms he'll take and shield you. Thou wilt find a refuge there. But it doesn't last, because the devil brings it all back. And you're going round and round in your mind about it, and it's coming down upon you again. Well, if that is the case, and it will be the case, you know what you should do? Go back to the Lord and pray again. As much as the devil brings it back to you, take it back to the Lord. Your great enemy wants you to bear it again in all its force. Your dear friend wants you to be relieved of it by his wonderful grace. And you don't need to have a special time alone. You can just send a prayer up, a telegraph prayer from your mind instantly. Oh Lord, undertake for me. But as soon as you are being reminded of it and are being burdened by it, take it to the Lord again. And as it comes back, take it to the Lord again. And as it comes back, take it to the Lord again. And you know what will happen? Eventually, the devil will see that in all his reminding you of this, all he is doing is making you pray harder. And that's the last thing he wants you to do. And so eventually he'll give up. If all that he sees he's doing is sending you to the Lord, he'll stop. And you'll come to a point where there will be relief that will be lasting. And you've gotten the victory. You've resisted the devil by that means. And he will have fled from you. It was like that with Hannah, wasn't it? 1 Samuel 1 and verse 15. She had been so troubled and burdened by her domestic circumstances. Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, who could have children. Hannah couldn't have children. But Hannah was Elkanah's favorite wife. Peninnah was jealous and taunted Hannah about the fact she could give her husband children. Hannah couldn't, and so on, and it became so unbearable. And she'd prayed. But this time she went into the temple of the Lord, and there was Eli sat there, and she stood and she poured it all out. A woman of a sorrowful spirit, and she poured out her heart, her soul to the Lord. It showed on her face. She was so distraught. A woman of a sorrowful spirit. But then in verse 18 we read, she went her way and her countenance was no more sad. What a remarkable thing. She'd got there to that place where finally she'd won through in persevering prayer, and the devil left her alone. Nothing was changed, but everything was changed. She was different. She found the relief. And that was before baby Samuel was born, which further changed everything. She had won through, her burden relieved in the presence of God by believing, persevering prayer. Oh, dear friend, pray and see it like this. Come to the one who has given you the burden. Tell him that it's too much to bear, and he will give you relief. I remember an instance in the case of Spurgeon. He was enduring one of his terrible bouts of physical suffering. And it became so intense that he cried out, O God, my Father, thou knowest that no earthly father would want to look upon his son and see him suffer. If the father could do something to relieve him, O God, I am suffering, do something for me. And he found the most remarkable way that God came in for him and got relief and got support and comfort. It was a palpable, physical relief. Casting the burden and the Lord sustaining and not suffering him to be moved. And you see, it's not only by prayer, it's by trust. See it as something that now is mainly his responsibility. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. And that latter part of the verse has a wonderful literal rendering. And literally in the Greek, it is, for it matters to him concerning you. Isn't that a beautiful way of rendering it? That's the more literal way. It matters to him concerning you. And you can say to yourself, I matter to the Lord. My burden that I carry, it's important to him. He wants to hear from me about it all. And he wants me to tell him and share it with him and be honest and open with him, for he loves me and cares for me and is concerned for me. Trust, trust. But if this thing is so big to you, it's infinitely more to him who loves you with a perfect love that will cast out your fear. Bring it to him and trust him. Trust him for it. It's a terrible thing, isn't it, when a dear Christian goes to hospital to hear the results of a biopsy or a scan, and what is going to be the outcome. And if it goes a certain way, it's going to change everything, isn't it? But you can cast that upon the Lord. And it matters to him concerning you. He already knows the result before you do. He already knew the result before the specialist did. It matters to him concerning you. He will sustain you. He'll never suffer you to be moved. If it's the best news, he will rejoice with you. If it's the worst news, he will sympathize with you and love you and draw very near to you and be everything you need him to be. He shall sustain thee. And that wonderful phrase, he shall sustain thee, it's almost as if it's saying he will get under it with you and bear it along with you. Certainly he will bear the heaviest part. It'll be a partnership and a fellowship. You're not bearing it on your own. It's not all yours. It's partly, mostly his. You bear it, but he bears it with you. That's how you're sustained. It's the arm of omnipotence that's underneath with you. Samuel Rutherford once said that the heaviest end of the cross is on his shoulder. Oh, blessed second that suffereth with you. Spurgeon again once put it like this, a little homely anecdote. Preaching in 1886, he said, here is a dear little child that has but a little load to carry, yet he staggers under it. It would be a kind thing for his father to pick up the child and his load too, and carry both him and his burden. But the wise father says, I will so provide for that child that he shall grow in strength and at last be able to carry his load. And in another place he says, God will either make the burden lighter or the back stronger. Either way, he will sustain you, and you will not be on your own. That word sustain, it's used in Nehemiah 9 and verse 21, where it's the people of Israel going through the wilderness journeys toward the promised land. And for those 40 years, they bore the burden of a long journey and enemies, shortages of food and water, lack of certainty as to the way. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Divine sufficiency. Millions of people divinely upheld and helped through. And so it will be in life, dear friends. The Lord is with us. And David was sustained. He was never moved. Helped through this rebellion of his son Absalom, so that in God's mercy the rebellion was put down. David and his men returned to Jerusalem. He was king again. The people welcomed him once more. The terrible crisis was over. You can't run away from emergencies, crises, troubles, burdens. Thing is, if you do, you've got to return to them again. You've got to come back. You can't stay away forever. They've still got to be faced, haven't they? But there is a blessed resort, a wonderful solution, which is almost too simple and almost too elementary that we forget it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Whatever the burden itself, view it rightly. Don't see your burden as that individual who's come into my life and has blighted it. God is the first cause, and the one who has ordered that for your good. Don't see it as the devil. All good things from God, all bad things from the devil. Oh, the devil has done this to me. The devil can only move if God governs him in those movements. He could do no more against Job than God permitted him to do. And Job was able to say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord was the true source. God is greater than the devil and is over your enemy. The devil is just an instrument in his hands for your good. View it like that. And if you view God as the true source, you have the beginning of the way of escape and relief by going to him. Prayer, trust, sustained and never moved. And so you see, the psalm ends at verse 23, but I will trust in thee. Trust in him, and he will not fail you. And you will prove what countless others have proved. Our sufficiency is of God. And God has made my burden and it almost like a weight of glory that has done me nothing but good, both here and for hereafter. May God bless his word, make it real to us for the glory of his name. Amen.